Join us this morning as Melvin Warfield Jr. shares another episode of Grace Points. Also, Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel joins us to talk about the physical and mental health connection.
We also have another episode from The Incredible Journey, an inspiring devotional message from Pastor Mark Finley. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope.
Happy Friday, friends.
Yes.
Today is National Parents as Teachers Day. This day serves to remind us and to remember the role, the incredible role that parents play in the education of their children.
You know, it's a known fact that children learn their first lessons at home.
Mm-hmm.
And parents also play an indispensable role in helping children fulfill their fullest potential. And we also can't forget that homeschooling parents as we think about them this day.
So we're here to celebrate, friends, the parents everywhere. Don't stop doing what you're doing in helping your children thrive and succeed.
No, it's time now to share hope this morning with you. And let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1895, physicist Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen achieved a historic milestone as he became the first individual to observe X-rays. This groundbreaking discovery unveiled the ability to render the previously invisible visible.
And just as the physically invisible inside of us becomes visible through X-rays, so too is the invisible about us visible to the eye of God. You know, friend, God sees every part of us. He knows the truth of who we are, even when others don't. He knows everything about us. Everywhere we go throughout the day, He knows every single one of our thoughts. In fact, there is nothing we can hide from Him. And in Psalm chapter 139, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and see if there is any wicked way within me." You know, as we ask God to search deep within our hearts and make us pure, He gladly reveals to us the things in our lives that are not in harmony with Him. And then as we choose Him, He leads us in the path that leads to righteousness so that we can become one day just like Him and that He can transform our lives and one day we will be able to spend eternity with Him. And so, my friends, live with His presence even here on earth as we wait for His soon return.
Amen. This morning, Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel joins us as he talks about our physical and mental health on today's episode of The Health Connection.
Hi, I'm Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel, and I'm really pleased to be here with you because we want to make a health connection with you. I have a little confession to make. You know, I don't naturally relish exercise. Not like some people. For instance, my wife, Anita, she loves to exercise. If she doesn't exercise, she's in trouble. But I do it. Not just to accompany her, but because it's good for me in many ways. And it feels great when you have achieved your goal, and even it feels great along the journey. Now, my experience as a young doctor helped me to consolidate this idea that it's good for me. A patient I had, an elderly man, he was in his early 70s. And he was very sick. He had multiple diseases, and he was taking about 12 medications. And he said to me, "Doc, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself." Now, I listened to him, and I laughed. Was it just one patient who had this novel statement? Well, over the years, patient after patient have repeated the same thing, in different words, repeated, and I observed it myself. You know, your body should be treated as an investment, not as a liability. It is the best tool that you have, And mine is the best tool that I have for successfully creating a happy life, not just for you or for me, but also for our families. With a healthy body, you can do a lot more, and you will enjoy life better, more to the full. You see, physical factors can either cause or relieve health issues. Or you may want to put it as this way. What you fuel, lubricate, and control the temperature of are important for your body's function. So the fuel, that's food. What you lubricate and what you hydrate, this has to do with water and the things that you drink, the liquids in your life. When you fuel up, and when you let the system take a break, these are also important. So the timing of your eating and drinking also makes a difference. Then, of course, there's movement. We are built to move. Life is better when you wear it out than when you rust it out from inactivity. And it's just like combustion. Clean air helps the system work better. So being outdoors, getting clean, fresh air right after the rain at the seashore. And also if you're indoors, to be able to clean up the indoor air using plants and other things to keep the air clean and fresh. And getting the sunshine, whether you're outdoors or indoors, these help to increase the quality of the air and also your overall health. And then, of course, there's rest, sleep, and recharging. Yes, rest and sleep help to recharge the person, help to recharge the brain, and also help to recharge the vital organs, producing hygiene for those things. It helps them to be able to do the job better. So rest is important, and sleep, very important. And then we have recreation. Now, recreation should be spelled R-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N, not W-R-E-A-K. Sometimes we do so much that we wreck the creation that God has made. But what's amazing is that improving our physical health may also improve our mental health. You see, living healthy improves the function of the frontal lobes, these two parts of the brain right behind the forehead. This is where we reason. This is where we make decisions. This is where we understand, and this is where we have deep learning. Our frontal lobes are even the places where we house our moral compass. So you do something for your physical health, and that's good. And that improves your clarity of reasoning and decision making. And you are also more inclined to invest in more healthy behaviors and healthier living. So isn't that an exciting improvement spiral? You choose one and you get benefits in the others. You choose healthfully for your body and you reap benefits in both body and mind. What a marvelous creation we have.
Prayer, what is it? Why is it important and how does it involve grace? Well, let's tune in as Pastor Melvin Warfield Jr. explains on today's episode of Grace Points.
June 6, 1944, I'm reading some history and I discover that on that day in Union Station right here in Washington, everybody stopped what they were doing, got on their knees, and began to pray. You know, Union Station with these castle-like ceilings, this huge expanse, the hustle and bustle of travel. People are going from one destination to the next, one terminal to the next. There's hundreds of people around. They're all around you. The hustle and bustle of travel, it's there. And suddenly, one by one, they began to fall to their knees, fold their hands, and begin to pray. It starts with a woman, and then there's a man who drops to his knees next to her, another man across the way, and suddenly everybody around them begins to pray. What was happening? June 6, 1944, it was D-Day. They'd gotten word that they'd landed in Normandy. The invasion had begun. And suddenly, people of every walk of life, right there in Union Station. Union Station went silent, and people began to call on the name of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 gives two words that I want to give you today. Pray continually. That's it. The previous verse tells you be joyful always, but verse 17 is where we land today. Verse 17 says pray continually. We have a habit of doing everything else but prayer, even as believers. We talk to people, we consult this source, we consult this resource, we try and pay for it, we try and manipulate it, we try and fix it, we try and church it away. We go to church instead of going to God. We do everything we can because we don't have enough faith in prayer. And if we don't have enough faith in prayer, that literally means that we don't have enough faith in God. Because prayer is connecting us to Him. It is speaking to Him as He is a friend. There are three things that I want you to get about prayer today. Number one, prayer is an act of relationship. That's right. Prayer is a deliberate act of relationship. When you pray, not if, when you pray, you're praying because you believe that God is. You believe that He exists, that He's all powerful, that He's not just the omnipotent God, but He's a loving Father. Not just that He is transcendent, but that He's immanent. Not just that He's high above, but that He's close to us. And we believe that we have relationship with Him, that we are by faith the sons and daughters of God. That means that we come to Him as children dependent on their Heavenly Father. Prayer is an act of relationship. But then number two, prayer is an act of righteousness. It's the right thing to do. It is the decision that we make. It's the deliberate, intentional decision that we make to call on the name of the Lord because we're believers. Because we know that this is what we've been called to do, that God's house is a house of prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, we sing, we preach, we serve, but do we do enough praying? Prayer is where we're transformed. Prayer is where character changes. Prayer is where we submit to God. It's a deliberate act of relationship, a deliberate act of righteousness. But then number three, prayer is a powerful act of resistance. Oh, yes, prayer is an act of resistance. You are looking at worry and anxiety and strife and the things that weigh you down, those burdens that weigh heavy on your shoulder. And you are saying, I will not be subject to you. I will make you subject to my all-powerful, omnipotent Father. You are resisting the pressure to crumble under the burden of life's problems. You are praying in an act of resistance, saying, I will not worry. I will not fear. I will not be anxious. I will trust in God. It means that we have to do more of it. Pray continually. I don't know what stops us from praying. But I do know it's the most powerful thing that the believer will ever do. What do you need to pray about today? Like on June 6, 1944, everybody felt a need for prayer suddenly. Like you see football players at the end of a game when they take a knee, all of these different people in the world, we see the need for prayer. What is driving your need today? I pray that you'll pray without ceasing, that you will exist in the very presence of God, because that's where prayer is. Anyway, it's great seeing you. Praying God's best for you. This is Grace Points. God bless you.
Prohart is Australia's most famous outback artist. During his lifetime, he produced over 70,000 pieces of art. But he wasn't just an artist. He was a man of varied and unique tastes and interests. Besides art, his other passions were inventing bodybuilding, pistol shooting, and collecting motorcycles and vintage cars, including his famous Rolls Royce. Let's take a dive into his collection on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Prohart is Australia's most famous outback artist. During his lifetime, He produced over 70,000 pieces of art. But he wasn't just an artist. He was a man of varied and unique tastes and interests. Besides art, he had other passions, including inventing, bodybuilding, pistol shooting, and collecting motorcycles and vintage cars, including his famous Rolls-Royces. Pro loved cars, and the iconic Rolls-Royces were his favorites. He ended up with four in his collection and turned one of them into a mobile art masterpiece, a kind of traveling mural that he painted with scenes of the outback. Now, Rolls-Royces weren't really designed to paint pictures on. That's not their purpose. But as we have seen, purposes can be changed. Because of the changes Pro made to this Rolls-Royce, because in a sense he changed its purpose, it's much more valuable now. Now, it's invaluable. Money couldn't buy it. All because the master artist went to work and made some changes. And the same is true for us. God has a purpose for our lives, and He can change us and guide us to find that purpose. And that makes all the difference to our lives. You see, our lives are a work in progress. God wants to transform you into the person you really want to be. And to do that, He will build your character. Sometimes the road is hard, sometimes the road is long, and sometimes it just seems too difficult. But God knows, and nothing is too difficult for Him. He can make the changes that are needed because to Him, you are invaluable. He gave His life to save you and change you, and that makes you priceless. Once you've accepted Him as your Savior and committed your life to Him, He's going to change you and make you more like Him. Whatever you do, He wants to help you do it in a Christ-like manner. And remember, if you're struggling with something, God is far more interested in who you are than in what you do. God's purpose is to make you more like Him before He takes you to heaven. Becoming like Jesus is your greatest privilege, your immediate responsibility, and your ultimate destiny. If you would like to know more about Jesus and how He can bring meaning and purpose into your life, then I'd like to recommend the free Bible reading guide we have for you today.
We invite you to visit hope.study for your free Bible study offer today.
And when we return, we will have today's devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley.
Don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to take a look back at recent episodes and see what else we have going on at Hope Channel. And subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss a beat of what we have going on. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. It's now time to join Pastor Mark Finley as he shares today's devotional thought.
We've been studying the book of Proverbs together. Proverbs is an amazing book of practical wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 17, the scripture says this, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." What is a friend? A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. That's according to Walter Winchell. Somebody else said a friend is someone who understands your past, believes in your future, and accepts you just as the way you are. Another person said growing apart doesn't change the fact that for a long time we grew side by side. Our roots will always be tangled. I'm glad for that, according to Ali Kondi. You see, lots of people, according to Oprah Winfrey, want to ride with you in the limo. But what you want is someone who'll take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. What is a friendship? What is the term friendship mean? Who is a true friend? In a biblical sense, friendship is this deep personal relationship where you feel comfortable to share your joys, your sorrows, your strong points, and your weak points with the one that knows all about you, but yet loves you still. the deepest relationship of friendship that we can possibly have is our relationship with Jesus. Throughout Scripture, the Bible talks about being friends with God. And the deeper our relationship is with Christ, the closer we feel to Him, the more we feel accepted, the more we can accept others. The more we feel forgiven, the more we can forgive others. The more we feel that Christ is our friend, the more we can reach out our hand in friendship. In John, the 15th chapter, the Bible talks about this concept of being friends with Christ. It's an amazing thing when you actually think about it, that Jesus, the one who existed from eternity, tabernacled in human flesh, the one that was one with the Father, and at whose very name angels winged their way to worlds afar, the one at whose name angels obeyed, this Christ, the creator of the universe, the one that spoke and worlds came into existence, the one that spoke and earth was carpeted with living green, the one who spoke and sea and land and life appeared, the one that created Adam out of the dust of the earth. This Jesus wants to be your friend. I mean, it's an incredibly sublime thought. We read about it in John chapter 15, starting with verse 10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I commanded you. No longer," now don't miss this, this is significant, "no longer will I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you." Jesus says, if I have loved you, love one another. And Jesus says, I loved you so much that I gave my life for you. You're not a speck of cosmic dust in the universe. You're not a grand zero. You're not like some soda can that has been run over by a truck and kicked to the side of the road and little or no worth. You're not some pebble on the seashore. Jesus says, I created you and I fashioned you. And I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be not simply a servant of mine, but I want you to be my friend. And when I understand that Christ invites me into an intimate, personal, loving relationship with him, when I understand that Jesus wants me to be his friend, it lifts my spirit, it encourages my heart, and it enables me to reach out in loving kindness and compassion and develop meaningful relationships with others. You know, I love that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. The words of that song were written by Joseph M. Scriven. The story behind the song is quite remarkable. He was in his early 20s and he was engaged to be married. About a week or two before his wedding, by now, of course, the invitations had gone out. The pastor had secured the church facilities. They had planned the reception, but Joseph M. Scriven's fiancée went swimming, and unfortunately she drowned. It was a devastating experience to him. He left England and came to Canada, and there in Canada was so discouraged. He went out living in the forest, chopping wood, living in a little home not on the edge of the forest. He'd often chop wood for elderly ladies. He said he'd never marry again. By the time he was in his 30s, he now found another woman that he loved deeply. They were engaged to be married, but unfortunately, she developed a tragic lung disease and died a few months before the wedding. Joseph M. Scriven was so incredibly discouraged. that he wondered if he could go on with life. Tears rolled down his face, and he got a telegram in those days from England saying that his mother was dying. He didn't have enough money to go back to the funeral of his mom or to even see her before she died. And he decided that what he would do would write a poem. So he sat down one day and he began to write, and these words came to his mind. What a friend we have in Jesus, written to his mother. Mother, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him, to God in prayer. Have we trials or temptations, Mother? Are there troubles anywhere? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Joseph M. Scriven, in the trauma of his life, in the sorrow of his life, in the heartache of his life, in the disappointment of his life, when he was walking through those valleys, saw Jesus as his best friend. You may feel that you have very few friends, but Jesus reaches out to you today. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. And the closer you draw to Jesus as you seek him in prayer, as you open his word and let him speak to you, the closer you draw to Jesus, the more your heart will be filled with his love to develop friends with other people. The more you trust Jesus, the more you can trust others in that friendship. Will you today enter into that precious relationship with Jesus that is the basis of all friendships? Will you reach out to him today? He's reaching out to you.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. What a reviving message.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you would like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week together, so don't forget to join us on Monday at the same time. We'll have a devotional thought and another special feature that you don't want to miss.
And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And friends, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise with you. And today's Bible promise says,
"For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants."
You know, friend, do you feel spiritually thirsty? Feel like you're going through some spiritual drought? Well, come to Jesus. He promises to refresh you.
Amen. We pray that you will take these reminders of God's love with you throughout the weekend, and we truly hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we can't wait to see you on Monday morning.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven today, Lord, yes, we thirst for you. We look up towards heaven and we say, Lord, we want to know you more. Deep within our hearts, we simply want to know you. And we thank you for the way that you revealed yourself to us today. And we look forward to, Lord, to discovering more about your love, more about your character. Fill us with hope, Lord. And we thank you for answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.